The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It's a short, not a short show, small show today. Just the Wonga and Jimmy and myself, Sean. Craig's still in BC. He might jump on at some point. Dubs was a late exit. She made an exit last minute, which is so unlike Dubs. And we know that she's agonizing over it.
Farewell.
We know that you'll also listen to this. It's okay. You are allowed occasionally to take a show off. We'll forgive you.
She gave me shit the other day for late notice.
Well, yeah, because you should get shit for a late notice.
Now she's pulled a late notice. Funny how it works.
I hope she hears this.
Hey, Dubs.
That would drive her crazy. Anyway, no Dubsy. JC will happy edit.
There were some forest sightings, right? But they were I always picture when people say I saw Craig Forrest, like the Bigfoot picture. It's a little grainy. he's walking. Someone's gonna have to do that for AI. Craig Forrest looking in the
And then he looks like it is the Bigfoot,
act like this
Bigfoot image.
Neanderthal kind of look.
Yeah, slouched over.
That's right.
Do you think Bigfoot's real?
No.
Or is he? Some people think he could be a time traveler.
Hmm.
Okay.
Just saying.
Is that one of the other theories?
That is a theory, yeah.
Okay.
Of course, probably the same people that think that the Earth's flat. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Bigfoot.
No, nor the flat Earth. Traps.
It's not flat.
on the field, it is.
Well, some fields, yeah. Kind of a little, slight little meniscus to it, though.
That's right.
Nice field. By the way, we sold some gear this weekend in our recently opened shop.
Yeah.
We're really excited about this.
We really have to give our homie JC and our friend Casey Telford for helping us out get that set up. JC did wonder. He did the designs. I'm going to buy the ones with the names. I think that's a brilliant t-shirt.
It's a cool t-shirt.
But we also sold a Footy Prime Sucks one, which makes me also smile.
I had a feeling that was going to be the first one to get sold.
Yeah. Walking around with a Footy Prime Sucks shirt. I love that. For those that don't know, so we have a little pop-up shop virtually. It's open right now for the next few days. Then it'll go down for a while. Then we'll bring it back up again. So you can find it through our website, wearefootyprime.com. And there's some really cool original designs and t-shirts, hats, is it a koozie for a beer? It's koozie, right? I think it is.
Yeah. And as Dubs talks about, a slim koozie.
That's right.
As we know what that means.
Yes. And for those watching the waistlines, that's very important. But so please check it out. And also while you're there, check out wearefootyprime.com. That's where all our content goes on. Some other stuff we're going to be adding to it as well. We keep saying that, but we will be adding to it. Sign up to our newsletter as well, please. Every Friday or Saturday it comes out. Wonga, we got a new sponsor as well, do we not?
We do have a new sponsor. If you heard the opening, our friends, Ryan Reynolds isn't the only one doing collaborations. Because he has a big podium, I guess you would say, to talk of. He has Wrexham, who didn't make it. Mm. Oh, well, sorry, Ryan. He's allegedly part of the Vancouver bid for a baseball team, if that happens. But he also is working with Tim Hortons on a maple glazed donut. And we are also, I'd like to say, working with Tim Hortons and their globally inspired Timbits and Ice Cap flavors, Tim's Taste of the Globe. So welcome, Tim Hortons. They've got a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit, chocolate creme brulee Timbit, cappuccino Timbit, fireworks Timbit, and a Mexican-inspired caramel churro ice cap. So go to Tim Hortons, get yourself the Taste of the Globe by Tim Hortons, just so you guys know. That's my little read for the day.
All right.
Promotion. And I'm going to go. I've got a new one that just popped up around the corner. I'm going to buy all the Timbits. I've got one daughter who likes to eat donuts and another daughter who likes to eat healthy. And I have to tell you, I lean with the first daughter. I don't mind eating a Timbit any day of the week.
Did you mention Ryan Reynolds just for the algorithm?
You know, well, two reasons. One, it's nice to see Wrexham not move up for a year. It's nice to see Ipswich going up because Craig Forrest will be upset because West Ham looks like they're going down. It's going to be between them and Spurs, right?
Yeah.
And
well, Spurs won this weekend, which is a huge win.
Yes, yes. And West Ham blew it this weekend. That was the other thing. Like, they got trounced. So,
yeah, the various tables and races are getting very exciting right now. We have the championship playoff set. Now, we wouldn't usually talk about this too much, but considering there's some significant Canadian content with Southampton's Kyle Larin, Middlesbrough's Alfie Jones, if he's playing, we don't know. He's been hurt for a while, but regardless, that's his team. And Liam Miller and Hull. Mm-hmm. Hull's playing Millwall, I believe. Are they not? In the semi-finals. And so, you know, it's a lot of CanCon in there. Three of our boys in some of the most important fixtures in world sport, because for those that don't know, basically it's a four-team tournament for that last promotion spot for the Premier League. This is worth literally hundreds of millions of pounds. Jimmy's been involved in it before.
Yeah.
It's not over embellishing, is it, to say it's one of the biggest mini tournaments in world sport, considering what's on offer here, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge, and it's exciting. It really is. The championship playoffs are amazing. I was fortunate. I got to play in it, and what a moment it is. It's amazing. We ended up playing Sheffield United when I was at Forest, and the atmosphere was just electric. So the whole country tunes in because they want to see who's going up and who's getting promoted to the Premier League. So it's a massive, massive 14 tournament really to get into that Premier League, and it's exciting to see. I mean, even the last day of the season, you're watching Hull. They're trying to get into the playoffs. Wrexham ends up drawing against Middlesbrough, and then Hull ends up beating Norwich 3-1. So that allows them to get into the playoffs and last game of the season. So it's so fun to watch. I love it. I love tuning into the end of the season, the championship.
And I'm finding myself with this tournament. Craig once described it, and you brought it up, Sharms. He goes, it is the opportunity to make your team go from, like, you're playing at Wembley, but that if you win, you are now in the Prem, broadcast rights all across. So it's quite interesting to me. And I there's a level of spite to see my nemesis, Ryan Reynolds, who doesn't know that I exist, that he actually is failing. So you're failing, Ryan Reynolds.
Well, you say he's failing. I mean, he's Wrexham finished the highest
I saw that
ever in their history. So there is an argument to be made that they're not failing per se. But it is their first year without promotion in, is it three? I think it is.
Yeah.
It's been some story. And even the scenes at Wrexham are pretty cool. The fans just, very appreciative of what's happened there and loving it and what they've done. I mean, listen, they reinvented their squad this year. They won't do quite the same for next year, but they know what they got to do because Burnley's coming down, Wolves coming down, and whether it's West Ham or Spurs, they're going to be favorites to go right back up again next year. So the money that these two, the winner of this tournament is guaranteed. Okay, so you get your TV money in the first year, but also just say you go back down again in the first year, you get these parachute payments. So it's worth hundreds of millions of pounds.
Yeah, because it's two seasons in a row that you're really set up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's transformative for a club, especially of those sizes. So, very exciting indeed. I want to actually mention something here before I forget. I was at a party on Saturday. And I was talking, and it's very much a non-soccer party. These are all guys, apart from maybe one, who like their hockey. Right, they're real good Canadian boys. They don't give a damn about soccer. But one of these guys, who was really annoying, he was very drunk, drinking Ryan Ginger, and I've never had a good conversation.
I thought his name was Ryan Ginger. Ryan, I thought you were naming him.
No, but I've never had a good conversation with Ginger. Ryan Ginger, right? It's a bad combination.
Right.
And this is a bad combination. But he was talking about the FIFA, which straight away, you know, pissed me off. But then was asking, yeah, so where is it coming up? Where is it this year anyway? Had no idea the World Cup was in Canada.
Wow.
No idea. Are we that much in our echo chamber?
Yeah.
Or is this guy just an idiot?
He's an idiot. Charms. You know, these guys, I love it when you're talking to people and they're like, yeah, I don't know much about soccer. Like, I'm a hockey guy. What does that even mean? Like, you're a hockey guy. Like, are you a sports fan? Because if you're a sports fan, you like athletics, you know everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. You know basketball. You know your baseball. You know this, that. And to say, when's the World Cup? You're just being you're a moron. You live under a rock? Like, you're stupid. No. I'm sorry.
I agree with you because I'm a hockey. You can say I'm a hockey guy and that I love hockey. I love the sports. You have to have an idea. Even my mum, she ever watched a sporting event in her life? I don't think so. She knows the World Cup's here.
Of course. I'd never go, yeah, I don't know what's going on in basketball. Or like, I'm a soccer guy.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
I agree.
You're into sports. You fucking, you know everything.
What's this here, Wonga?
I don't know. JC's put, oh, Ryan Ginger. Ryan Ginger.
He's a baseball guy.
A picture up here of someone called Ryan Ginger on, was it Facebook or Instagram?
Charms, was he taking the piss with you or was it serious?
No, he was serious. Then went on to tell me how much he hates soccer because it's just, you know, all the diving.
What?
And so one of those guys like, oh my God, really? I told him, listen, mate. I said, it's a very nuanced sport for intelligent people, so therefore you wouldn't understand it.
No.
Wow.
Here's my other issue with this shit, too. Soccer, diving. You know how many times you're watching basketball guys driving into paint trying to draw a foul? Hockey, the same thing. The embellishment where they take a little trip, a little dive. Like, oh, I got hit in my face trying to draw blood. It happens in all sports. All sports. People trying to get an edge and draw a foul.
And listen, and it costs diving. Yeah, you're right. But I ask anyone out there to run at full speed and then just get a little clip in your ankle. You're going down.
Of course. Didn't Sidney Crosby get done for embellishment the other day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's an outcry. Sid wouldn't do that. No, not the great Sidney. Did you watch him earlier in his career? He did it all the time.
Idiot.
Anyway.
I hate everybody
today. There's people out there. I don't know.
Like specifically Ryan Ginger.
Ryan was pissing me off.
you were talking about a party. I went out with my buddy Dave Amber on Friday night just to get out. And we ended up, there was some hockey games on Sportsnet. And he goes, hey, do you want to head up to another bar? I got a couple buddies there. So I actually, first time meeting Elliot Friedman, who says hi, Charms. He goes, you're a wonderful guy. Kelly Rudy. Who we chatted.
What's so funny about that?
So Kelly Rudy and Kevin Bieksa. So we all had a beer. Yeah, we had a good time. So
I haven't met Kelly Rudy before or Kevin Bieksa, but I let them both.
Very, very nice gentlemen. They're gentlemen. My God.
What does that mean?
Because we were just talking about life and all that kind of stuff and, you know, how we're living. And it was quite interesting because Rogers is going through a lot of changes and everyone's, you know, not worried about their jobs, but you know, sports casting is a very tenuous situation as an employee. So it's just interesting on where everybody kind of feels comfortable and who doesn't and all that kind of stuff. And I would say for anyone in who's on air, it can happen anytime, right? They just go la la la, too much, la la la, not enough, you know, like they basically can fire you at any point. So I think what's in, like what I gathered from part of that conversation is like everyone's on borrowed time and what we're doing, owning our own stuff and starting our own shop and creating sponsorships with Tim Hortons and thanks to our partners over at SiriusXM, really helpful. You know, there's a level of, hey, at least we can guide ourselves and navigate this media sports world?
You know, at this party on Saturday, there was James Sapolsky.
Oh, right, James, yeah.
Sportsnet, TSN, the Scotland Seaboard for years. Great guy. He's in Vancouver now. He's actually teaching. He does a little bit of, he does a podcast too, actually, with Andrew Raycroft, Razor.
He still
has a toe in the media business, but Seaboard is one of the most talented broadcasters in this country. So too is Arash Madani. Mm-hmm. So too is Sid Sixera, none of whom have a regular network job anymore, right? It's crazy how people come and go in this business. And as long as I've been involved in it, I was always worried about my job. And you mentioned Dave and Amber. I'm sure Amber has also been worried about his job for his entire career as well. It's just part of being in this business.
Yeah, once you get on air, right?
Where we are. I mean, it's great. It rewards well. It's fantastic. It's fun. But it's a shitty business sometimes, all the time, anytime. And they can cut you loose at any time.
Yeah.
How's your toes, fellas, with all these names you're dropping?
Hey, listen, if I'm dropping Siebel's name, there's some serious issues. Okay?
Ryan Ginger.
But yeah, it is. That's the nature of the business. And
yeah,
there's a lot of creativity sitting there in those companies or outside those companies not being given that opportunity at all. But anyway, let's not get into it. Craig's not here, so he can't be hammering network TV.
No, he cannot. No.
Right? What did I say? You know what? CPL had a big weekend.
They did.
Right?
That was great.
Not so much from the games, which were great, by the way. They were actually some really good games, but a couple of moments. Let's start with the Inter-Toronto, maybe the greatest celebration of the season. Maybe the greatest celebration for some time, actually. And it just demonstrates the CPL and what those players, who they are. Mm-hmm. And that they're not making, you know, raking in tons of money, and they can't necessarily have full-time jobs as footballers. Wonga, you saw this. Thomas Skublak of Inter Toronto.
So funny. He scores his goal, and as the camera starts to pan to him, he pulls out a card. And you're like, what's he doing? And he's showing his card, and he says, call me. And then you realize it comes out he's a real estate agent, and he's showing his card from his real estate brokerage, and he's saying, call me to make extra money on the side. He'll never have a better chance at promotion. Like, that is, this kid is made to market. So congratulations, Thomas. We're going to push for you. If you need to buy or sell a house, are you looking for a mortgage? Like, call the CPL, email this cat, get his number, because he deserves something. I have no idea if he's a good real estate agent or not, but he's a good promoter. And that's a good smell if you're trying to sell a house.
Jimmy?
No, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was so funny. Because I was watching the game, and then he goes into his sock, and I was like, what's this guy doing here? He's promoting himself as a realtor.
But that means
I wonder if he got any calls.
He had to plan it too, Jimmy. Like, he had to go, oh, fuck, what am I going to do tonight? I got to put my card in my sock. And he couldn't have told anybody. Yeah.
When was his last goal prior to that? Do you know?
Oh, that's true.
Because we were talking last week about T-shirts under football shirts. And
right.
How many players have had that for like weeks or months, and they're waiting to score a goal before they can show their T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's the same thing with this. But what a brilliant idea. And why the hell not? A lot of leagues would frown upon that. I hope the CPL celebrate it and amplify it, because I think it's brilliant. These guys aren't making, you know, crazy money by any stretch. They need gigs on the side and beyond football, perhaps, right? I mean, let's be honest, Jimmy. I mean, you know, you are fortunate to play, you know, the top level. But most football players, this isn't something you can retire on. They have to have a plan B or a plan A/B while they're playing, right? And this guy, you know, he might not make the big move to a big four league in world football. He may have to think about a career beyond football in a few years' time, right? And I think we can celebrate that.
Of course. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think now you're going to start to see more guys come out with it. Maybe guys work in the bar and they're doing that, the shaker, come see me at this place. maybe there's a contractor and he's doing the hammer when he comes over. Call me.
No, that's great. I'm just trying to find, why is my phone not working here? Just trying to find some stats here.
Oh, on like last goal or something?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
One second. Keep talking, Wong. Yeah. You can fill it in.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you remember I was on that show, Lakefront Property?
Yeah.
Okay.
On HGTV.
I get on the train the other day and I'm heading down to, heading to the office, and this guy gets on. I'm looking at him and he sees me right away. He's like, Jimmy, comes over, he sits down. It's the producer, right?
Oh.
The show. So he was retiring. And then they called him up and said, we want to do another year of the show because, you know, it was a hit. Not since I went on it, but it was a hit, right? Maybe it was my swing that they liked. So anyways, we're sitting down, we're talking. He's talking about our podcast, and I was asking him about his podcast. And he's got a podcast, and it's called Prison Sentences. And what he does is he writes to prisoners, right? And if they write back to him, he has conversations with them, and then he talks about their experiences and what they're going through. And he's had like Charles Manson. He's had like all these crazy people that are in prison for like 20 odd
right.
sentences.
Right.
And that's what he's doing at the moment. And I was like, that is wild. So he just sends letters to prisoners and just waits for them to write back and then talks about
it. That's a great idea for a show. I find that stuff fascinating.
That, yeah. I was like, how did you think of that? Like, yeah, I'm going to write to a prisoner. And yeah. He said it was like him and his son. Isn't that a crazy story?
Because we see these stories with these well-known or, you know, notorious criminals, right? In the some of these high security, max security prisons, they're everywhere. But the average, you know, criminal doing six to a year, I find that interesting. What's his life like in inside? What's
right.
it? I've got a good friend and she actually works in that, not within the prisons, but from a government level. And I just drill her with questions about, you know, my thoughts on prison life. And she says, my God, don't commit crimes, kids. It's not cool. It's not fun being in prison. There's nothing fun about it. It's awful. It terrifies me, actually. Maybe I think Oz, watched Oz, and that scared me straight. All those years ago. Like, oh, I don't want to be in there.
And just a correction. I think you meant like Charles Manson, right, Jimmy? Because Charles Manson died November 19th, 2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it 2017? No. When?
Yeah.
Making it up?
No. I Charles just looked Manson? It up. Yeah. I remember him dying. That's why.
Oh, okay. Thomas Skubeck, by the way, scored the brace against Ottawa in a 4-1 win, of course, this weekend. But he scored last week as well against Cavalry.
All right.
Yeah.
So my apologies for not... where was the card last week?
It's yeah, no kidding.
Past week, or maybe he got his license this past week.
Yeah, maybe just got him printed.
Yeah.
Vista print went straight there. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was brilliant. Also, this weekend in the CPL, our boy, we can call him our boy because we've had Carl Becker on the show more than one occasion.
When you talk about your ball sack on a national, international podcast, we can now call him our boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Forrest, our boy.
He's very close to return, and he came off the bench this weekend for Forge. I mean, that is a quick freaking recovery. That is incredible.
Holy jeez.
It's preseason. Right at the end of preseason, he got diagnosed.
Yeah, good for him. Good to see.
I'm going to reach straight out. We were really, not a lot of hits on the YouTube, but a lot of hits on the podcast. The Footy Prime crew, this is from our friend Alan Fair. Thank you for the excellent podcast with Kyle Becker. Thought it was tastefully handled, respectful, thoughtful, and informative. The podcast, its crew, and Kyle himself have helped advance men's health and awareness of the broader issue concerning men's health. Well done. So thank you, Alan, and thank you, Kyle, for jumping on the show. It was a very, you know, insightful,
candid.
Revealing. I mean, that's a pretty... It's a pretty kind of open spot to put yourself in, right?
Yeah. And straight away, he decided to be an advocate. for men's health.
Brilliant.
That says a lot about him. You know, our very own Craig Forrest has been very open about his experience with cancer. A long time now, 20-odd years. And when you have two survivors, I mean, do you call them survivors? I mean, it sounds as harsh. No.
Yeah, Carducci as well.
Yep. Sorry? Carducci. Yep.
Carducci, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. That was it? Must be 3 years ago now, right?
We have Marco. Maybe four now. Yeah, Marco.
Maybe four, yeah. You should dig it up, actually. Yeah. Another great interview. Guys that are very candid and open about discussing their battles with this disease and coming through it. I think it's really important.
Well, this is the weird thing about Craig, though. He's candid about the testicular cancer, but not so much about his ancestry having Bigfoot as part of his lineage, 23andMe. So we've got to figure that out.
Forrest family, right?
That's right. He doesn't talk about it.
Because you only see Bigfoot pictures in forests. And that's the name came from.
Yeah, the long torso family.
this Neanderthal-looking thing with tiny legs and a huge torso.
Yeah.
Walking through the forests. Yeah. Anyway, back to Kyle. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. It's on our YouTube channel and also, of course, on our podcast feed as well. And that was, was it last week or the week before? I think the week before.
Last week.
Was it last Monday?
Monday or Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, you can find it.
Yeah.
A really interesting conversation with Carl. So congratulations. He came through with his promise. He's back in action already. And what a legend he is.
So they're doing a fundraiser to our friend, Charles Bolsonaro sent me a link. So Balls for Bex or Bex for Balls, but they're doing a cancer fundraising with the Forge Battalion. So the supporters group is raising money. So we'll share that on our socials just so people can give some money out to a really worthy cause.
Hmm.
The MLS story, before we get to TFC and Van and Montreal, Max V. Dane. Boy, lots of goals. Orlando against Miami. Miami up 3-0. But Max was great, by the way, with it, despite the three goals being conceded. Some huge saves. Back come Orlando, who win 4-3. Dane made some huge saves as well. I don't know, Jimmy, what we learned out of this one. But that's a lot of goals. At least our goalkeeping choices for Canada are facing lots of shots. So they should be...
when they're getting tested, which is good.
Yes. They're well practiced.
Right. Yeah. Full of great practice right now entering the World Cup. But boy.
Yeah, look, it for me, I mean, you kind of want a goalkeeper to be tested, don't you? A little bit. At least be in the action. The last thing you want is a goalkeeper going to the World Cup that hasn't had many saves, hasn't many shots, but the team's winning. But at least they're getting their work in. That's for sure. Both are getting peppered. Lots of shots.
I don't know how you look good in the 4-3 result, but they both look pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's an exciting game, wasn't it?
It was funny, though, because Craig was – he mentioned – because we were off air when we found out that Ali Ahmed, had a little bit of a, we're not sure what's going on with Ali, right? And Craig said, he took him off, took himself at a halftime. But Craig said, I don't want our players to play anymore, basically, except the keepers. Like, that's basically it. You want them to say, we'd want to take whoever's not injured right now for Canada's men's national team and just keep it the way it is and at the level they are. But obviously that's not going to happen. These are those things that I'm worried about. Like Kyle, Liam, Alfie Joe, like it's those three, right? That are in the this playoff system. There's a lot that can, I'm just knocking on wood for everybody. No more injuries.
That was actually Wonger's leg that made that sound.
Glad he said leg. And Saliba also got hurt this weekend as well.
Oh,
not sure the extent of that one. So they're going to be dropping, but those seasons are coming to an end. What concerns me, it does concern me, is the Champions League final is May 30th. Right, that's 2 weeks before the World Cup starts. And we don't know. Listen, Bayern Munich's down. Kind of hope that PSG win this week.
Oh.
Why? Kinda,
in a self, from a purely selfish standpoint. Mm-hmm. So Fonzie can get some rest. I mean, say rest. I mean, he's had a lot of rest this year, but it's been injury enforced rest. Just because, like, for that reason, Wonga, I'm watching all these games, and I'm like, you good, dude, just get through the 90 minutes.
It's hard.
Every
it's
fan hard. Of every team is doing the same thing. I don't care who you support. It's the same thing, right? It's a terrible time of year. It really is. Because especially some of these games mean nothing. Okay, Champions League final aside. You know, most of these games mean nothing. Most of them, right? And to get injured in some of these matches, like, oh, God, please just don't. Just don't.
Yeah, and we also, I think we got it wrong, not wrong, but we didn't know that Sam Adekube, and this is a week and a half ago, Sam Adekube actually got some playing time with Whitecaps too. I think that's the right term for them. So that's great to hear that he's back on the pitch. And Moise Bambito, that was another kind of, hey, he's looking like he'll be around for it.
Good. We need him.
Yeah, let me just have a look at. I don't think he was on the bench this weekend, was he, for Nice?
I don't think so, but.
Pretty sure.
They're saying he's coming around, which is nice.
Yeah, next few weeks, they said. Well, it has to be next few weeks, right? Let's look here. His last match, see, this was. Yeah, he wasn't on the bench this week, but it could be very soon. So, yeah, we'll see. But yeah, back to the goalies. I mean, here we are now. What? When's the World Cup start? June 12th?
Yep.
Canada? And we are May 4th?
You sound like Ryan Ginger when you said that.
I'm a hockey guy.
I'm a hockey guy.
But so we're just 5-6 weeks out from the start of the World Cup. We still have no idea then, really. I don't think either Max or Dane have claimed the spot just yet, have they, Jimmy? From this season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, you'd think that Jesse knows who's going to be his number one. Obviously just not sharing with us, and we're going to continue to figure it out, aren't we? Both talented goalkeepers, very good. Both at good clubs, both are getting a lot of shots, which is good. They're getting their work in, but I think Jesse's got a very good idea of who his starting goalkeeper is going to be.
You think he has for a while?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. I kind of.
I mean, how could you not? Well. How could you not?
It's like your manager, this is my guy. Closely. It's him to lose it at this point. Do you think that's kind of where he's at this point?
I think so. I think that's.
And
where
is
he's
it Dane?
At. It's got to be.
It's Dane, right?
Probably, yeah.
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 That's my thought as well. He was getting the trickier of the internationals, and just cuts that profile that we know Jesse likes so much in a goalkeeper. But the squad will be announced before May 30th at some point. And obviously we'll cover that in some depth, but still probably 4 or 5 spots still to fight for. Good news this weekend was that Tejon scored. Laren scored again, as mentioned there. Alistair Johnston, assist. Nice little cutback for Celtic as well. So there's good news as well.
Can we talk a little bit, too, Jimmy, about that? That goal that Laren, if you saw it, that Laren goal from the midweek where he had like 4 touches and then just kind of side footed it in. Yeah. And I was like, that was a worldie almost, you know, where you're like, oh, that could be seen. Like Craig mentioned it, he shared it, but that confidence for someone who's a striker, that must be amazing to start feeling again, right?
Look, he's in a good place right now. And I said it as soon as he went to Southampton's great club, good fans. And he's just playing with bags of confidence right now. He's scoring, he's providing, the manager loves him there. And this is the Kyle Laren that we all know, right? And that we wanted to see again and get back to a place where he was scoring goals, enjoying his football. And I think he's in a very good place right now, and it's exciting for us because we're going to have a striker that's in form going into a World Cup and could potentially get to the Premier League.
I shouldn't forget this, because the NSL, Dubsy will be covering this more throughout the week, of course, when she returns from her lazy little excursion away from the podcast. But we've got midweek action actually in NSL. Ottawa's playing Vancouver on Wednesday. As well as we have Canadian Championship this week as well. So it's a good midweek for Canadian football fans. The biggest news, I think, probably of the entire week, though, and it kind of went under their radar somewhat, was the Canadian government giving Canada Soccer $9.8 million to help with the building of a national training center. That's a lot of money, right? I haven't seen, it's funny. This weekend's been kind of, I've been everywhere this weekend, doing a million things, not enough really focusing on football, quite honestly. I apologize. Haven't dug into this story just yet, but I will. But I know that they're coming close to deciding where this thing is going to be. There's been, I forget what they, I spoke to Peter Grusso about this a few weeks ago now. There's been a lot of interest from across the country. A lot of municipalities want this thing. What makes sense? I mean, listen, and I'm going to say this now, and it's going to really upset a lot of people. I'm sorry, but it does make sense for it to be near Toronto for numerous reasons, not least the fact that it's not that big a hike from Europe compared to BC.
Yeah, exactly.
And the media hub of the country is Toronto. To me, it only makes sense it'll be near Toronto. And I apologize to those in Quebec and those in Vancouver and in between. You'd all do an amazing job. But Jimmy, there's numerous reasons why it should be and really needs to be, I think.
Well, you said it. I think it's got to be in Toronto as well. It just makes sense. All around the world, pretty much, you can get direct flights from wherever the players are coming in. It just makes it easier for travel. I'm sure everybody would love to see it in BC because of the weather as well, which would make sense. But it's just, I think it's the commute, which would affect a lot of people, especially coming in from Europe. So I think it's going to be in Toronto. That's what I think.
What, Jimmy, should it look like? You know, were you involved partly in the discussions around the TFC?
I was at the beginning. We flew down to Mexico and went to a couple of training grounds. Then they obviously put everything together and they built a wonderful training facility in Toronto for TFC. But I think it's going to be very similar, you know, nice clubhouse with all the, the weight rooms and recovery rooms and, you know, plenty of pitches that everybody can use. So I think it'll be a nice setup from what I'm hearing and talking to some people that are within the CSA. They've thought about this thoroughly and know exactly what they're looking to do. And I think it's exciting. It's about time. We need something like this.
What's that site? I think around Woodbine, wasn't it? The Woodbine site was mentioned a couple of years ago now. I'm not sure that's on the table still. That would make a lot of sense. But we should be hearing, well, within the year for sure, but probably around the World Cup, I think, we'll find out more about this.
Yeah.
That's quite exciting, but that's a big chunk of cash coming their way. That's for sure. Well, are you okay? You've been like dying.
So it's allergy season. So we know spring has sprung because I've got the, not air conditioning, but the filters, the fans working in the house just to clean out. And I'm sneezing my face off for the last 24 hours. You got that. So if we want to do a Instagram and just cut out my video, you would see me sneezing 38 times because I was able to put mute on. So, yeah.
We appreciate that, that, at least.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Darling, he's a little bit stuffy.
I am. I'm stuffy right now.
I've been trying to avoid the Premier League story with United beating Liverpool.
Beating them up.
Cementing a Champions League spot for them. Michael Carrick, Jimmy, I mean, he's done a pretty good job there. I would think he should be given an opportunity to be the full-time manager, don't you think?
You'd think so. The way he's turned it around, the results that he's got and teams that he's beating. Look, I'm not a United fan, but it's good to see that he's actually come in and done a good job and taken a team where everybody's looking, going, get rid of this guy, get rid of that player. And he's figured it all out. And he's got the best out of his players at the moment. They're playing good brand of football. Like I said, getting good results. And you'd think, you've got a guy that knows the club inside out, that's played for the club. He's getting the best out of the players. Why would you venture somewhere else and try to get somebody else to come in and be the manager? If I'm United, that's your guy. This is a guy that is getting the best out of the players. Plus, he knows the academy players that are coming through. You've got a guy that has a feel for the club. So if you're in Man United right now, you give him the job. And don't go into Europe and try to get somebody else that's going to come in and change it all and not know the club and not get the results that you have. You've tried that many times and it hasn't worked. So now you've got Michael Carrick, who's done a wonderful job. He's the man that you stick with and give him the job.
Yeah, for the first time in a long time, there's no noise around United right now.
Right?
They're quiet. They've done this really quietly.
Yeah. Yeah. Just flying under the radar, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And you look at that team, it actually is a highly skilled team with some really great players on it. And okay, maybe they're not ready yet to be competing for championships, but they're third place and they've been consistently since he took over, at least the third best team in the country. Yeah. So I give Carrick a lot of credit, and it's as a Liverpool fan, it pains me to say this, but I've always really liked Michael Carrick. As a footballer, he was brilliant. Would he would have crossed paths with Europe, Jimmy, wouldn't he, Carrick? Was he?
Yes.
Just about.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
Clever footballer.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, did it all in that midfield, right? But a number of injuries, mind you, but did it all without any kind of bullshit around him, right? It's so easy playing for United to have noise surrounding you. A lot of players do. But not Carrick. He just went about his business. Kind of Paul Scholesy, kind of, you know, just did his job. Did it really well. No crap around him, just a footballer. Now he's turning into a really smart manager by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I mean, listen, it's United. They could do something stupid quite easily. Done a lot of that recently. But give him the job and build this summer. I think that may have been the death knell for the Arne Slot at Liverpool.
You really?
I think so. That team demands such high standards.
Listen, I know,
maybe
but
he can still live off the championship last year, and that's if they do, okay. I'm not calling for his head necessarily, although a lot of fans are right now. But you lose
certain games. That's such a quick turn, though.
I know, but Wonga, in soccer, though, there's certain matches which have so much weight.
And they lost the home and away against United this year, too.
And
right?
Fans don't forget that. It's like, you know, if you're a Celtic fan, and you have a manager that loses the Old Firm derby, that match carries so much weight. That could be enough to get you fired if you're not excelling elsewhere. And this, if he's on the periphery all year,
is it fair? Do you like Arne Slot and what he's been doing, or not?
Yeah, I don't dislike him per se. I mean, I still put a lot of weight on last year, but it was a weird year when the other contending teams just weren't very good, and that's taken nothing away from Liverpool and what they accomplished. They were great, but they're taking a massive step back this year. Now we've discussed it, and I don't want to keep mentioning it, right? But you know, to lose a player. As in Diogo Jota in the offseason, it does have a weight and that carries a lot on a team. And who knows how it affected. Luis Diaz leaves, who was brilliant last year. He's brilliant this year that he wasn't replaced.
Quick memories, though, eh? Like, there's not a lot of grace for that. All of the things that kind of they had to handle this year.
You have to get going. Yeah. The show must go on, right? As tough as it is.
I find that disappointing. Brought in,
haven't really got done. You watched yesterday.
I find you disappointing, Sherms.
I know. Do you want me to be angry?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to be more supporting?
More supporting. I feel like Liverpool's been through a lot, and Salah made the announcement that he'll be leaving. So there's just a lot of feelings going on at Liverpool. And sometimes you have a season like that, right?
New signing's not working out, really. Salah declining quicker than perhaps we thought.
Yeah.
That's all contributing to what has been an average season, but they're still in the Champions League spots, don't forget. Mm-hmm. And with Villa losing yesterday to Spurs, that's a huge result for Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
Although five teams do qualify for the Champions League this year, so they should be okay.
Our friend Mark Schwarzer, who was on our show a couple weeks ago, just had a really great sit-down with Mo Salah. So if you search on socials, follow Mark. Yeah, you didn't see that?
I didn't see it, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you weren't watching soccer this weekend.
No, I've been off the radar a little bit this weekend. You've been
drinking heavily.
No, I wasn't drinking at all, actually.
Really? So you were sober when Brian Ginger was assaulting you and trolling you?
You know what I'm trying to do right now? No. Jimmy will laugh at me. I'm trying to go 2 months before the World Cup has started without having a drink.
Mm.
So I hit the World Cup and I'm going to be like, you know, freaking go. I'm going to be feel good, look good. And I'm 3 weeks in, I think.
Do you feel good right now?
No, I don't. My sleep's terrible. I thought I'd be feeling much better. I lost a few pounds. Guinness. I thought I was drinking much before, to be honest.
Get yourself happy again.
I know. But I know, you know what? I'm trying to drink beers because I do like beer. And they're getting better, I'll say that, but it's not the same. The Guinness Zero is really good. It's excellent. It's the best 0% beer. It's the closest to the original that I found.
That also disappoints me, Sharms.
Yeah.
Sharms staying away from beer, alcoholic beer. It's very odd.
I know. Well, you know, I've got to get to June the 12th.
Right.
And then watch out.
I go over Sharms on Sportsnet.
Yeah.
No, but who knows? By then, maybe I'm feeling great, right? Just extend it. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, anything else you want to get to?
Oh, we didn't hit MLS really after we didn't talk about Jimmy's day on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was with Canada Soccer and BMO. Ended up bringing out the match ball and took some pictures and joined in on the coin toss. So it was a nice day. It really was. And that was pretty much it, fellas. That's all I did. I walked out with the ball, dropped it off for the referees to pick up, and joined the coin toss and took a picture.
Much like waved. The last few games as a player at TFC.
Yeah, and then I walked up the pitch, had a good little strut.
Yeah, I saw your strut. You looked really good.
Yeah,
was there a
clenched
strut?
My ass when I was walking, make sure everything was tight.
Yeah,
good to go.
Oh, that's right, because they were honoring the Canada, right? Weren't they? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice day. I really enjoyed it. Then went up and watched the match.
And actually, it wasn't amazing, but there were some great plays, highlights. Like that, I forget which player for San Jose saved that goal in the last off the line.
Reed Roberts.
Reed Roberts. My God. Unbelievable.
I was sitting watching the play, and I was like right on the near enough the goal line.
Yep.
And as Chaloui's coming over top, I'm yelling like, just nick it, just nick it. And he just gets a touch past the keeper. I'm going, it's in. And this guy comes out of nowhere and just slides and kicks it off the line. And then it was literally on the line.
It was, but it was one of those plays, Jimmy, that you like just in my it was one of those ones where you could hurt yourself too, right? Like because you're throwing your body completely out there in a way that it's in a fashion that's probably never been in that position before, and I was like, this guy is going to kill himself. And it was a brilliant play, and you know it almost made the match. And then the last 15, 20 minutes of that match were pretty watchable.
Yeah, it was. It was a decent match. Look, considering TFC's got, 12 players out now?
Yeah.
They're missing a lot of players, and some of the young players coming in and stepping in to fill the void. And I thought they did well. I really did, especially the young guys coming on too. And it's good to see that they got an opportunity. And that's what it's all about, right? When you're a player and you're young, you wait for your moment. And your moment normally does come when there is injuries and you get called upon. And it's up to you now to get in there and show that you belong. So it was good to see a couple of the young players.
Another draw. How many draws is that? They got a ton of draws last even going back to last season, right? So many draws.
They're going to draw their way into a playoff position at the end of the season.
They will. Listen, I don't have any issues with them with TFC once they get all their players back. And look, if you're the manager, that's all you want. And all you can ask for is just give me a healthy squad. And I think when they get a healthy squad, I think they're going to be very competitive. They'll be in the playoffs.
Vancouver drew. And also rare loss of points there. And Montreal lost. Back to their losing ways after a couple of good weeks under the new interim manager there. Is that okay? Covering MLS?
Yeah. I'd say. I watched the highlights for Vancouver. I really want them to stay in Vancouver. The fans deserve it. It's quite bolstering, and I have no idea if this would have an effect on how anyone sees the Vancouver keeping them there, but it's seeing all the other teams and players from those teams and supporters from those other clubs supporting Vancouver to stay. Have no idea if it makes any difference on a media level or if it's just, you know, billionaires owning teams. But it's quite an impact when you see like the Seattle coach talking about it, or the Seattle, you know, talking about Cascadia and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. Like there is great support across the league.
Yeah, I wonder how MLS head office feel about these other teams coming out and calling for the support, given that they've had these conversations with a legitimate buyer in Las Vegas. And it's like, if this happens, it's going to be a very unpopular move across the league if Vancouver have to leave.
Yeah.
People don't want to see this happen. So Vegas will be seen, if it happens, God forbid, as this big bad, the monster.
And it'll last 3 months, and everyone will forget, and they'll be going to watch games in Vegas.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not there yet.
No.
They're not there yet. So let's keep fighting the good fight. Support where you can.
As I've just noticed through Arnie Slot's conversation, short memories.
Goldfish.
Yeah.
Yep, goldfish. All right, well, listen, that's Footy Prime for this Monday. Later this week, there will be a broadcast, presumably, breaking down the week that has been and to come in NSL. Also, Leon got to the Champions League final as well this weekend. Some CanCon there, of course. William Niabro, TFC backup goalkeeper, is going to join us on Thursday or Friday. Probably Friday. We'll see. I haven't spoken to William, but apparently quite a character. And he also, of course, played at Inter Miami, ahead of this weekend's match against Miami. Thought it'd be a good person to talk to.
Oh, we also have to thank our guest, Ryan Ginger.
Yeah, we do appreciate your contribution to the show today. Even though you're a hockey guy.
Yeah. And of course, our new sponsor, Tim Hortons. Thanks, Tim Hortons. We'll be talking about you through the World Cup. There's going to be some features Tim Hortons that we'll be sponsoring. So we'll be moving the World Cup higher on our rundown every single show and make sure that everyone knows what's going on. I was just looking at the difference of seating at Toronto Stadium. I don't know if I'm allowed to say BMO anymore. When does that start or stop?
Say
right?
Whenever you want.
No, I know, but you know, when are you supposed to start calling it Toronto Stadium or good question. BMO?
I imagine after TFC's last match.
Okay.
Is that Miami or the week after maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So it's going up to 47,000 seats. So those stands. That's quite a stadium all of a sudden, 47,000.
It's going to be great. It's going to be loud. But yes, so we look forward to that. Speaking of great sponsors, Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Mm-hmm. Make it legendary. Why don't you? Make it legendary.
Make it legendary.
Craig's bet didn't come through this week.
No. Gorps was upset. His Arsenal bet came through, but his 3.5 under with the Miami Orlando match, which he really blew that one. But this is the problem. Shouldn't be doing parlays.
Why? They're fun.
I know. How'd your parlay work? Because you threw one in there.
It wasn't great either. Actually, I think close. No, you know, I had it's all around the Liverpool Man U game. I had over 3.5 goals.
Yeah.
There was. I had both teams to score, which there was. I had a goal in both halves, yes. Who let me down was Casemiro and Curtis Jones, neither of whom had two more fouls. I thought they were gimmies.
Mm.
right? In that kind of game, it was a very clean game for that derby.
Was it a like cumulative between the two of them, two or more fouls?
Each.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that game is so dirty usually, right? The midfield is a battleground, so I assume that would be a pretty good bet, but I guess not. So if anyone took my advice, well, that's on you. I wouldn't apologize. Never take my advice when betting. Pretty simple. Okay, everyone. That's 40 Prime. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Wonger.
Thanks, Sharps. Dubsy.
Thanks, Sharps.
J3, we'll see you next time. Until then, cheers for listening. Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Beep. Ginger.